Genesis 41, it says this in verse 12. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams. Now, this is the butler talking to Pharaoh, speaking about Joseph. There was a young Hebrew man there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream. In other words, he individualized in his ability under the anointing to explain to each of the people what the dream was that they had and what it meant. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted it for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. So one God blessed with restoration, and the other, well, his bad deeds got him the death penalty. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. Father, thank you for this truth. Most importantly, we need your presence. We experienced the anointing of the Holy Spirit early in this service through great worship. And you always respond to worship when it comes from our hearts. And may, as we continue in this service, though we're excited about good things happening in the lives of people in our church, help us now to be excited about what you want for our future. Bless us with truth in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen. I thank God for life in the church. Go ahead and express thanksgiving for the future health of Calvary Christian Center. Amen. Thank the Lord. You're good. Some months ago, we began talking about Kingdom Grace on some Sunday nights. And then I moved over to Kingdom Favor, and I preached one message on that topic. And the Lord's given me a second one. The Holy Spirit will grant us wisdom and knowledge, and he has gifts for us. Thank God the Holy Spirit has gifts for us, the blessings that he brings from the Godhead. Now, this is a conversation I just read to you going on in Egypt between the Pharaoh of Egypt and his butler. And it was Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. God had gifted him with an insight that was beyond anything natural. It was fully and completely supernatural and given by God for him to be able to tell exactly what a dream meant. And the Pharaoh was in need of one who could interpret a very important dream he was having. So Pharaoh then calls for Joseph out of the prison, because this new dream has really got him perplexed. He doesn't understand what he's seeing with cows and spots and fields and harvest. And he calls for Joseph out of the prison. And Joseph changes his clothing, bathes, shaves, and he goes and presents himself to the Pharaoh. And having changed his clothes is something I want us to look at for a few minutes tonight. Because in the Bible days, what you wore meant everything. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. When Joseph appeared to his brothers, the first thing that they did, they stripped him of his coat. That coat of many colors represented the favor on Joseph's life, his father's extravagant love for him, the favor that his dad had placed upon him. His brother stripped him of his coat. And in taking that away, they were thinking, we will take away from him his favor. Don't allow anybody to take your coat. It says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Praise is a garment. Praise is a garment worn before you come into the sanctuary. We talked a little bit about that this morning when we talked about Barak, when we begin to call on the Lord and honor and bless the name of the Lord. Praise is a garment worn before you ever enter the sanctuary. So Jesus, it says in Mark 10, stood still and commanded the blind man to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. The garment the man wore was specific to his condition. His condition was blindness. And in addition to being observed that he was blind, he was required by custom to wear a specific type of garment so that people would know it immediately upon viewing him. When he was seen, people knew he was blind. That's why he threw aside his garment, because he knew in the next few moments, I will no longer be designated by this garment because I'm going to see. Lepers were dressed and also in a specific garment. They cried unclean loudly as they walked, but also could be seen by the garment that they wore, so they could be seen as well as heard, that they were identifiable by the type of cloth that they wore. Garments reflected condition. Joseph's brothers stripping him of that garment represented to them he no longer had favor. Nothing good would ever happen to Joseph again. They didn't know that favor was on Joseph more than on his garment. Favor changed Joseph's garment and position. When waiting on Jesus, I'm made to understand favor is what is on your life or coming upon your life. God will favor those who align with him and love him and serve him and put him first. There are some unusual things happening in your life. Many have already begun to happen in your life. And I'm so grateful. This is going to be a year of great outpouring and a year of great anointing. I believe while preaching God's truth, if you believe the word of the Lord that you're hearing tonight, there will be a manifestation of what I've spoken about in your life. But if you choose to close your ears to what I'm speaking, there will be no manifestation of it in your life, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you hear this truth, what I'm speaking to you will happen in your life. It comes from God's word. I get the privilege, opportunity to deliver it to you. If you receive it, something good will happen as a result of it in your life. If I preach this correctly, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, there is a garment that will come off of you and a garment that will come upon you. By the power of the Most High God, something is changing tonight. Amen. And I don't know about you, but my time of mourning is over. God has given us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So you go ahead and put on the garment of praise, because your life will not be lived under the spirit of heaviness any longer. Amen? Anybody want that liberty? Change your perspective of your surroundings, like changing a garment. Start looking at things differently instead of the only way you've ever viewed them. Step out of heaviness. Step into praise. Step out of poverty. Step into God's provision. You can step out of sickness and step into healing. This is how we roll in the body of Christ. Amen? It's how we move. Be careful about your countenance, because some of us can read you very well. And no matter if you're in a suit, shoes, groomed, a shirt, no matter how nice any of those articles may be, it's what is underneath the outer garment inside of you that's important to God. And what about what's in your shoes? Your feet tell us where you've been walking. They have a history of where you've been. Observation: some people are wearing the wrong garments. You've been places your feet shouldn't have taken you. You've had things happen inside of you and allowed to manifest in your heart that God has seen. You see, sometimes we think God only sees the physical things we do in the exterior. God also hears your thoughts and knows them. Psalm 100. So therefore we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And walking in here, we should be wearing thanks before we get into the parking lot. Well, half of you thought that was cool, but that's the word of the Lord. We should enter, right? We should enter wearing thanks before we ever get into the parking lot. When I walked in the sanctuary, I should have my garment of praise on. I don't have to wait. And let me ask somebody, when we walked into the house, what kind of garment did you wear? What were you wearing when you showed up? Because I wore the right garment, I didn't have to wait for the keyboard to start playing. Because I wore the right garment, I didn't have to wait for the drums to start rolling or wait for the praise and worship to begin. I wore praise and worship into the house of the Lord. And that's how we should come to the house of the Lord. So ask your neighbor, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Driving on the highway? There have been times when heaviness tries to settle in on me, especially when I see the way some people drive. But I've told heaviness, this is not how I dress on my way to the house of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, put on the right garment. So Joseph realized things had changed in his circumstance. Perhaps you're still in grave clothes because you don't know yet that you're alive. When you're alive, you strip off old grave clothes. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb and commanded, get him out of those grave clothes. He is not dead. And do you understand tonight you've been wearing dead, but you're not dead. You're alive in the Lord. So take off the grave clothes and let the life of God be expressed in your heart. We're not here to have a homegoing service. This is a celebration service. And like we prayed tonight for part of our family who lost a loved one, it's painful. But one thing we all need to learn in the body of Christ as well, we weep with those who weep, yes. But we don't wear the heaviness indefinitely. We don't wear it forever as a garment. I ask God to help us lift that garment off so we can change our garments and recognize that even in the passing and transitioning of one from this world into the heavenlies before the King of Kings, we have something to rejoice about. We must do what our forefathers in the Word did. They changed their garments. We need to change our garments. The garment of praise still fits me no matter how much hell I'm walking through. I wear the garment of praise. I still have praise. It fits me. It's better on me than heaviness fits me, or depression fits me, or low self-esteem fits me. Praise looks good on me. Does anybody here right now know praise looks good on you? So receive a revelation tonight. Before we put on the garment of praise, we didn't look so good. But once we got dressed and looked in the mirror, we said, praise looks good on me. And the word says they called for Joseph, and he responded quickly. He shaved and changed his clothing. How did Joseph shave and change his clothes and get there so quickly? Because the word's very specific that it was a very rapid exit out of the prison. There are some garments you've been wearing that have slowed you down. There are garments you can have on you that are part of your just your nature, old nature, or circumstances, or allowed things to creep into your life that will slow your ability to function down. Say, I will change quickly tonight. Yeah, I want that stuff off of me. You're being called. This is a moment of favor in our church, and you can't be struggling with slave clothes on. You can't be wearing slave clothes serving the Lord. And watch this. There wasn't a change of clothing for Joseph in the dungeon. So every day you saw him, he was wearing the same thing. Anytime you visited him over 7 years, he had to wear the same garment. But on this particular day, everything was changing. I love the suddenlies of God. Amen. All of a sudden, suddenly, God turns everything in one day. Say, this day, everything is changing. There were some who thought you would never get your moment. There were people who were ready to give up, and some in fact have, and thought it's never going to happen. Remember, Jesus reached that moment with that fig tree after 33 years of living. In some cases, it will take 50. It took Moses 40. Listen, if somebody's told you you're never going to get to that moment, if the devil has lied to you, listen, you always keep the change of clothes that you're going to need when the moment changes in the corner, waiting for you to rapidly change into. One day, when the Lord is ready, I'm going to get the chance to wear that. One day, I'm going to shed this garment and put on this new one. One day, I get to change out of these clothes. There has been so much darkness, but get ready. This is my day of light because favor is on my life. Celebrate because you're in a favorable time. Amen. And after Joseph has given this interpretation to the butler and the baker, the butler is released and he goes to serve the Pharaoh again, and he forgot about Joseph for 2 years. Joseph had asked him, in return for interpreting your dream, I have one request. When you get to the Pharaoh, would you speak to him of my plight? He asked him to remember him to the Pharaoh. He was looking for parole. He was looking for a pardon. He was looking for a reprieve. Our president has just been handing out a few of those to some whose sentences were not just. And this Pharaoh had the power to make that kind of a judgment. He was doing it now for the butler. And Joseph was interested in having one for himself. But the butler forgot all about Joseph, and 2 years go by. Some are counting yourselves out because time has passed since you've had that conversation. Time has passed since you thought God was going to answer that prayer. Time passing does not cancel out what God said. Let me show you this. Let me share the principles. First, favor synchronizes you with God's timing. What Joseph didn't understand, if the butler had gone from prison and immediately told the Pharaoh would not have been facing the famine at that time as yet, nor would he have had that dream that he could not figure out. Joseph's time would not have arrived. It would have been premature. And some think you were denied. No, you were delayed, not denied. For Joseph, after years of wilderness journeying from the time as a young boy, he's been given a dream and a promise from God. Now 2 additional years have to pass. And Pharaoh had to have the dream. That's why Pharaoh had to be alarmed by the dream. And there had to be a need for assistance in order for Joseph's ministry to come into play. And when the butler left the prison, Pharaoh had not yet had that dream. So God had the time when he would send the dream to Pharaoh, then Pharaoh would begin searching for someone to interpret that dream. So you've been synchronized with God's timing. You have not been in the pit for no reason. In the pit, your attitude was being shaped, and character was being shaped, and the ability for God to trust you was being tested. I believe it's God's time to set you where God wants you to be. God has been synchronizing us. You've had to wipe your tears away, but in the middle of those, God's been synchronizing you. Stuff that you've endured, you could hardly tell anybody about. You could hardly speak about, but God was synchronizing you. Most don't know. You gave up your yesterday, but God was synchronizing you. You were in the quitting mode, but God was synchronizing you. I know you wanted it earlier, but when God sends it, it's never too late. It's always on time. Always. And I'll remind you, he's always the God of 1 minute to midnight. He loves it. And some of us don't. I'm getting used to it. There's a difference between my time, your time, and God's time. A difference. I can attempt to get you on my time, but it doesn't mean it's on God's time. You can attempt to get on your own time. It doesn't mean it's God's time. For some things haven't broken loose as yet because we've been on our time instead of synced up with God's time. And I believe tonight we're getting on God's time. We're being synchronized in these last hours of history because God's about to do something amazing. How many of you know we need to be on God's time clock? He's got a time clock for this state, for our nation, for the world. We can be an hour too early because we think we are ready. God says, no, you need to grow before you meet the moment of synchronization with my time. God will move when we are ready, and the timing will be perfect. Now watch. Some people need to watch long enough to see it happen because they're just wired this way. They have struggled with faith. They don't believe anything until everything God promised starts manifesting in their life. All the stuff has got to like drop in their lap first. Then they go, okay, I believe you now, Lord. But watch this. Tell somebody, watch this. Because what God promised on his timeline, and I'm synchronizing, that's my job, is to get in sync with him. You see, there is such a thing as a closed heaven. The word calls it a bronze heaven. When people are believing for something, but the heavens are not open for that to manifest. It just seems like there's nothing going on. It's bouncing off the walls. And are you hearing me, Lord? Yes, he's hearing you. He hears you every time you call on his name. And the scripture says in Deuteronomy, God shut up the heavens. Shut them up. Said, nope, we're going to shut you off for a period. There's going to be a test. And those who have endured under a closed heaven, and that's going to be a test. Everybody in this room, no one will escape it. You will have to go through the season of a closed heaven, and it will be a dry season. You've gone through the season. You endured a closed heaven, but you kept a good attitude toward God. You continued. You said, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But Barak, blessed be the name of the Lord, just like Elijah prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years in Israel. He prayed again, and the heavens opened. And listen, they gave rain. You better get ready for the flood. I said, you better get ready for the flood. Are you hearing this? I decree over Calvary Christian Center, let it rain. God, let it rain. Let the windows of heaven pour rain on us. Because under God's direction, I'm attempting to get us linked with him, in sync. I know it's been bronze over in one area, bronze over in another area, but it's not bronze right here. The heavens are opening, and I believe someone here is receiving a breakthrough, receiving a release, receiving joy, receiving peace. You're changing your garment, and you won't need a raincoat. This shower is for you. You're going to get soaked. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And when it begins raining, fruit grows. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to do. Don't worry. Just pray and give thanks to God. God's granting you a great harvest. Get ready, because the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. God is here, and we are in a favorable moment. This year, something amazing is going to happen in the lives of people and in this church. And second, your garment of favor is the announcement of a new day. That's what it means. Now, some people get real nervous when you say, a new day, what does that mean? I like the familiar. Well, we all like the familiar. But God's always into a new day dawning, a fresh, a renewed. Listen, when he changed his clothes, when blind Bartimaeus threw off his garment, it was representative of a new day. Church, we need to learn this. There's something we're all going to have to do. It was representative of a new day. Now, you're kind of quiet. Do you really like the day you're in? Or are you ready for a new day? I'm ready for a new day. How many are ready for a new day? Amen? Do you like the challenges happening in our nation right now and the messes going on in the cities and in the governmental entities? I don't like it, so I'm changing my garment. Let's get some attention with our praise from the Lord, amen? Let's get some attention from God because we love him and we're honoring him in the middle of crisis in our culture. David came dancing because he carried the presence of the Lord with him, and he danced into the city of Jerusalem. As he danced in the city of Jerusalem, his wife, Michal, sitting in the window of the palace, looked at him and started criticizing him. But David knew what time it was. And Joseph's new garment represented he was not going back to that dungeon. He's no longer in prison garb. He's going out there now in garb to stand before the Pharaoh of Egypt. He'd been thrown into the pit. He was then thrown into the prison because of the accusations of Potiphar's wife. He's been in this place. He's been in a pit by his brothers. He's been in this prison now for 7 years. And there's that term again, 7 years. Oh my, Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years. Joseph, 7 years in the prison. But this time, tell your neighbor, this time. Come on, this time. When this time came, Joseph knew, I've been there twice, but this time, your credit's been in trouble twice, but this time, your relationships have been troubled twice, but this time, two of your children have hit bottom, but this time, your business has been set back twice, but this time, you've been diagnosed more than once, but this time, can somebody believe in this house? This time. This will be the last time you're going to go through what you've been going through. This will be the last time you'll be attacked like you have been attacked. This is the last time because you're leaving where you were. It's a new day, and you'll be dressing differently. You're going to where God destined you to be. This is the last time you'll be insulted. This is the last time to be treated like a slave because this is God's time. Amen? They never realized you would put off something and put on something. It's New Testament because Paul tells the people of God to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man and gives you a list of garments you should wear, cinching them all up with the bond of love. Some don't understand to put something new over something old. No, you take off the old first because what God will put on you next will be brand new. Are you ready for the next? Yeah, that's the pivot right there. Are you ready for the next? Because what is next is about to become the now. I said what is next is about to become now. Do you know what you're wearing now, tonight? I know what I was wearing then, but I had to take off what I wore then. God has something for us to wear now. What is it God wants you to wear now? I know you knew how to wear what you once wore then. Do you know how to wear what God has for you now? Have you passed the tests that Joseph passed? Because until you do, you don't get to put on the garment that he got to wear. Do you know how to show up in church now with the garment of praise? Do you know how to go out and take authority over the devil's work now in our day? You see, every week, I'm in a constant transitional change. Every week, shift. There was an anointing here this past Wednesday. It was unique to the service. There's a fresh anointing here this morning. And I have to learn how to take off the old and put on fresh anointing, because I need fresh presence of the Holy Spirit, not living in my yesterday's experience, but the fresh presence of the, whatever it is, if you're willing to take off the old, God is ready to put something fresh on you. If you're ready to take off depression, God's ready to put some joy on you. That comes with the anointing. Some just want a word. But you also have to watch how you act. Actions are important. And how we go about life, and how we relate, and how we fellowship, and our actions, and our involvement, and our participation, and our commitment levels speak more than just words. Joseph knew in his spirit this would be the last interpretation he would ever give in the prison. He knew that. This is the last time my anointing is going to work back there in that prison. This is the last time my gifting is going to work behind bars. From now on, I get to manifest my gift fresh in the palace. I'm going from the pit to the palace. Amen. What we need in our day, in our community, some people will take something off and put something new on. We need fresh air. We need leadership in our community that knows how to shift something. Do you know when the anointing is working, it doesn't stay inside the church? It bleeds right into everything, in the culture, into business, into politics, into how we're governed. It affects and it moves into everything, because the anointing isn't here to be hidden. As Paul said, this thing that was done wasn't done. It's not done in a corner. It's done out there where the Roman Empire was affected by the anointing on Paul the Apostle. And so, the anointing needs to work in the entities that lead our community. We need people who know how to shift some things and not just give me the same old platitudes, which basically say, we're not changing, we're going to stay the same. And that doesn't give opportunity for graduates to find gainful employment, to watch the cream of the crop, have to leave the area to get good jobs. I think that's shooting ourselves in the foot. We need to create enough kinds of jobs and a climate around here where our young folk and students say, you know what? I've got great opportunities right here in my own backyard. We need fresh air, new direction in leadership in our community. So let the anointing of the Lord have an effect even on that. That's down in my bones, man. I said, that's down in my bones. Somebody wants to get dressed for success in this place. Someone is hearing the word of the Lord. Someone's going to change their mind and change their garment and shift, because God wants to do something mighty in our church and in our community. And if you're wearing old clothes, people expect you to do what you've already done. But when you put on a new layer, they don't know what to expect. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Calvary Christian Center, people don't know how or what to expect, because you're going to look differently than you have before. Your actions will be different than you have before. Some expected you to be the typical church member, just kind of downcast and struggling to get along and all depressed. But today I said, you're going to take off the garment of mourning and put on some praise and some worship. Someone say to your neighbor, put it on. Put it on. Amen. And we don't have to change the structure. When you look at the church and the biblical principles of God's truths, you don't change the structure, but we need to change what we've been dressing in, which basically our own traditions. His foundation is eternal, but what we're wearing has to change. When we need to make up our minds, we're done with the home-going services. We are here. We didn't come in here to be depressed on a Sunday. We don't come in here to just drag through another service. We come in here to glorify the name of the Lord, who is victorious, who has victory for us, who makes us victorious in Him. We're putting on new garments. We're not having flashbacks to what it was like when I was 20 years old, but we are having dreams about the future and what God wants to do in our todays and tomorrows. Not flashbacks of yesteryear. We're not here to hold a museum tour. We're here to go where God's directing His body to be salt and light in our community, to be felt and experienced and seen wherever we are. And here's the promise. This is for our generation. This is for all of you that were here tonight standing in the front. It shall come to pass afterward. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And it will be fresh. It won't be what your grandpa had and your grandma had. And the way they expressed it, it's going to be the presence and the power of God today. But the same Holy Spirit who blessed grandma and grandpa will bless you in our today. And He'll bring it home to you in your day. Are you ready for your future? And we need to praise and glorify the name of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is anointing us in this house today. Someone has decided in the room to put on a new garment because there's praise in the atmosphere. Amen? And third, because of the times, this garment of favor is permanent. This one is going to stay on the church until Jesus comes. This one is going to carry us all the way to the moment of glory when Jesus returns to gather us with Him. Because of the days and the shortness of days concerning our adversary, the devil, because he is angered, this last garment that he's going to put on his bride is going to be the last garment, and it will last for the rest of our days until Jesus comes. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. And here's what I sense. Y'all ought to stand on your feet and point down to the ground, and with the top of your voice, point your finger and say, your time is short. Tell them again, your time is short. I said, your time is short. Thank the Lord. Because God has taken His church somewhere. So keep standing. Because of these days, God's putting you in another garment, a new anointing. And this one, the devil will never be able to strip off of you. Nobody will ever be able to strip this one off of you. We should celebrate the victory that Christ has brought to His church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's something on you that no one can take off of you. His brothers stripped Joseph that day, but God had a garment in reserve for him that nobody was going to take off of him. And God has a new garment for you, because what's on you is deeper than your clothing. It goes deep into your spirit man. It's more than what you wear on the outside. The enemy tried to strip you. They did not know what you had on, because when God stepped in, He dressed you. He cloaked you. He put His favor. He put His anointing in His presence. He dressed you, not with the same level that our predecessors had. He dressed you with double portion of what they always wanted. We're going to get to have, so get ready. You're getting redressed tonight. Amen. Thank the Lord. I know what you used to have was exciting, because I was blessed to be able to live through a lot of that myself. But what's about to come upon you now is much greater than anything you have ever had in your past. And what you were able to do then, get ready for greater to do now. What God's putting on now will wrap all around and be felt around the world. Get ready for supernatural, over-the-top ministry that impacts the culture. Why? Because you're dressed in another garment. Amen? There's fresh anointing on your life. It blesses. And once we're clothed in the last day anointing, the enemy will regret that we ever put that garment on, because he cannot strip this one off of us. It's permanent. And he never understood the consequence. When God puts his presence of favor, his anointing of favor back on his bride, the enemy is not big enough, nor is he strong enough or powerful enough to strip it from us. I want you to hear this tonight. The devil cannot take what God has given you. In every previous garment, was temporary compared to this one. This one is the signal of the last day in gathering and outpouring that trumpets the return of Jesus. You were restricted by previous garments. And then this garment, you're going to be able to lift and move your arms with ease, and you give thanks to God with full abandon. This garment has stretching room in it, walking room in it, punching room in it. There's a release here tonight. So lift your hands and shout the praises of the Lord. Breakthrough is here in the house. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise God, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.